Please pray with me. Holy Spirit, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us through your word this morning, that you would speak through my words, and that you would give us all ears to hear, and that in the end, you would receive all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing to work through the letter to the Colossians in our sermon series here. And the question we're asking as we're going through this letter is, how do we grow? We know as Christians, we want to grow. We want to come into greater maturity. We want to be more empowered by the Spirit, more filled with the gifts, more mature in our wisdom and interactions with this world. How do we get there? Colossians is helping us address that question. And what we've read so far in the last couple weeks is that it's the gospel that bears real fruit in us. Not trying to aim for these skills or techniques or knowledge and wisdom, but we're aiming for the gospel, the hope of heaven that bears fruit in our lives. Last week we read about the supremacy, sovereignty, and sufficiency of Jesus Christ. That's essential for our growth. It's knowing who he is and what he has done and who we are as a result. It's by rooting ourselves in these things that we grow and let the gospel bear fruit in us. In our passage today, which is Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 24, going into chapter 2, I would encourage you to open your Bibles with me and follow along. I'm going to be a little bit jumping around and framing this in a particular way, so it'd be helpful to have it in front of you. Paul, in this passage, is giving an explanation of his own ministry to the church. How he sees and envisions his ministry and the goal he has for the church and the strategies of how to get there. Now, anytime you and I have a goal, it's really important that we have strategies to help us work toward that goal, right? If I have a goal, I want to lose 10 pounds, my strategy involves no ice cream and going for a walk every day. It's easier said than done. If my goal is reading 30 books in the next year, I have strategies about putting my dang phone away, going to the library once a week, getting some good books to go through. I have strategies to help me work toward the goal. Paul is saying we have a goal in the Christian life. And here's the ministerial strategy for how to get there. Here's how he is going about bringing us to that goal. The goal that he says is the goal of the Christian life is in verse 28. That he wants to present everyone mature in Christ. This is his great ambition. Then the power of Christ is compelling him and energizing him toward this. So he says, this is the goal, maturity in Christ, and we're going to set out these strategies to accomplish that goal. So what I want to do today with this passage is hear what Paul is saying about his ministry as an apostle, his goal and his strategies, and to infer from that what our goal is in the Christian life, and what our strategies should be, the God-given strategies that he's laid out for us to accomplish that goal. Because this is not just Paul speaking about his earthly ambitions and aims for the church. This is the Word of God that the Holy Spirit has been speaking through Paul and working through his ministry. Paul says he's exercising a stewardship of this ministry of God in the world and in the church. So when Paul is telling us his aims and goals, we need to hear it as God's aims and goals for us. Paul is not God, but God, through his Spirit, is speaking through Paul and bringing us this word. So the goal of the Christian life that Paul is showing us, that the Lord is showing us, is maturity in Christ. Let's look at what that means for us real quick. That Paul says in verse 28 that this is the aim of all he's doing, to present everyone mature in Christ, presenting us to God, saying, look at this one. Look at how they've grown. Look at how they've come into maturity, Lord. Just as we read last week about how Jesus Christ presents us before God as holy and blameless and above reproach, this is our justification before God. Paul's now saying, I want to present everyone mature in Christ, our sanctification. Presenting us to the Lord as those who have grown into what we are. Our sanctification is about growing into our justification again and again and again. That we have come into maturity, fully formed, grown into what we were meant to be. Christian maturity is about growing up in Christ, reaching the full potential of who He longs for us to be. It's about looking more and more like Jesus because we are abiding more and more in Jesus, having communion with Him daily, hourly, praying without ceasing because of our communion and abiding with Him. Maturity in Christ is about living with His wisdom in the world, operating from a standpoint of who He is and what He has done and who we are as a result. It's becoming like Christ, being transformed by the Spirit, bearing the fruit of the Spirit in this world. It's standing firm in the truth in the midst of a world full of lies and seemingly plausible arguments. Maturity is the end point of our personal growth. It's what we are aiming for. We want to grow. And so we want this to be our great goal, our great ambition, something that we are striving for, struggling for, toiling for all of our lives, to grow into what we are in Christ. Let this be our great goal. And so what's the strategy? What are the God-given strategies that the Lord has laid out for us through this apostle to get us to that point of maturity? And there are 4 points I want to draw out of this text for us of strategies for growth into maturity. First is making the Word of God fully known. Second is proclaiming the richness of the faith. Third is warning and teaching us. And fourth is encouragement. So we're going to go through these four as the strategies getting us towards our goal of maturity. Throughout all of this, Paul is struggling and toiling in prayer for the disciples. Prayer needs to be the waters that we swim in for all of these strategies, never divorced from that prayer and that life of prayer. So these are the things we're laying out as what we should seek out in cooperation with the Spirit of God as He's bringing us to maturity. So once again, just to be clear, we want to look at the strategy of Paul's ministry and how he goes about presenting us as mature, and then inferring from that what our strategy is in cooperating with the Spirit to that same end of Christian maturity for us. Make sense? All right. First strategy. In verse 25, Paul says his aim is to make the Word of God fully known. He's to become a minister of the church according to the stewardship of God given to him for you, to make the Word of God fully known. This is the primary focus of Paul's ministry because it's so foundational to Christian growth. When Paul talks about the Word of God, he's not just talking about Scripture, but he's talking about the power of the gospel that saves. The gospel that he says in Romans is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. That the Word of God is the gospel. We read all throughout Acts that the disciples were proclaiming the Word in all places. They were making the Word fully known. They were sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the Word that is the power of God unto salvation. And who else is called the Word? Jesus. Jesus is called the Word, the Logos. He is the good news in Himself. It's all about Him, who He is and what He has done. Paul wants to make Jesus fully known to us, proclaiming Him in all truth, who He is, and what He has done. But he also does mean he's talking about Scripture. He's talking about the written Word of God, making this fully known to us. In Acts 20, Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders as he's leaving them, and he says he did not shrink from declaring to them the whole counsel of God. All of the gospel, all of Scripture, nothing lacking. We want to make the Word of God fully known to us as disciples and believers as we go towards maturity. It means that we can't just cherry-pick parts of Scripture that we like and then ignore the parts that we don't like. We need the whole counsel of God to let the Word of God be fully known to us. So as Paul strives to make the Word fully known to the church, that's his strategy, his ambition, our strategy should be to know the Word. To know the gospel that saves us and makes us new. To be steeped in Holy Scripture, formed by the Word of God, holding fast to that Word that is eternal and infallible. Because the Word of God endures and remains throughout every generation and in every culture. Cultures change, trends come and go, values will shift from generation to generation. But the Word of God does not wither and does not fade. It does not change. The Word of God is an anchor that tethers us to the reality that endures in every generation and in every culture. It transcends culture because it is eternal. So we need to cling to that which is eternal, to let that be the Word that forms us and shapes us. For those of us who desire to grow into maturity in Christ, we cannot neglect the Word of God. To let it fill us, form us, command us, guide us. We make it a foundational part of our daily Christian lives. Deuteronomy and Jesus both said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need the Word more than we need food. We cannot neglect to let the Word, who is Jesus, fill us day in and day out and get to know Him more and more through Scripture, through His presence. To be in the Word every single day. That's always been my encouragement. I've said this so many times to us, and I really want to encourage us to be in the Word of God every single day. Even if it's just 5 minutes or one chapter or one psalm, let the Word of God fill you. Let it form you. Let it be a key strategy on the journey that God is taking you towards maturity in Christ. Because this is His revelation that He's made known to us. The revelation of the richness of the faith. That's the second point that we're going to look at. Paul goes into in verse 27. To them, the saints, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. And that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory in you. The hope of glory. The revelation of God is a person. It's Jesus Christ Himself. So all the blessing that God desires for you, all the riches of His glory He wants to give to you as a Father who gives good gifts, we read in the Gospel of Luke. The riches of His glory, they're not found in material things. They're not found in circumstances. But it's found in the fact that Jesus Christ lives in you and dwells in you. That's the treasure, the richness of the glory of God that we have in us. That Jesus is in you. Jesus Christ, the supreme and sovereign one over the whole universe, whom we proclaimed as He is before all things and in Him all things hold together, He lives in you. What a wonder. What a miracle that you and I can have communion with Jesus. We can have a relationship with Him, not one that's like, it's just a call away, I call upon Him when I need it, but he's ever present with you. Closer than your spouse or your best friend or other family, you can at any time meet with Jesus, who is not far off, but who dwells in your heart. You can turn off the noise in your life, you can settle distractions, and you can just go and meet Jesus there. And you know what? He is great company. He is very satisfying just to spend time with, just to be with, and to enjoy his presence. Christ is in you. The hope of glory, the richness of heaven, is not something far off, not something you have to go searching for in your circumstances, but he's in you. We grow to maturity by making this our great treasure, by making this our deepest joy, that we cling to the glory of these riches more than we cling to any other thing in this world. And if we have seasons where the Lord is allowing bad things to happen in your life, terrible things to befall you, maybe like he did to Job, that everything is taken away, nothing can ever take this away from you, that Christ is in you, that he dwells in you, the hope of glory. This glorious truth that Christ dwells in you is more valuable than anything else, worth more than all the treasures on earth. Is it valuable to you? Is it something that you treasure? Is he the highest value in your life, your greatest ambition? Because when we hold this value, when these are the treasures of our hearts, we will grow in them into maturity. Third point, verse 28. Paul says that as he proclaims Christ, his ministry is also warning and teaching the disciples in all wisdom. So warning and teaching are essential strategies of Paul's working towards Paul's goal. Teaching the faith and its application to our lives, warning about the false gospels and false ideas that will always be trying to infect our minds and hearts. In verse 4 of chapter 2, a little further down, Paul warns that there are those who are trying to delude the Colossians with plausible arguments. These are fancy new ideas, new ideologies or worldviews that maybe will use Christian-ish language but are built on unchristian foundations, working toward non-Christian aims and ends. So Paul says teaching the true faith is really important so that we know the path that we're walking in to bring us to maturity. And teaching and warning always go hand in hand, right? Warning is like the negative course correction, and teaching is positive course correction. Teaching is where the path is being laid out before us. Here's the way, walk in it. And warning is intending to keep you on that path. It's course correction. It's saying, oh, you're veering off a little bit in this direction. Let's get back on the path. That is warning that's given in love for helping you aim towards your goals. This is where wisdom comes from. Christian teaching and warning is done in wisdom and from wisdom. And wisdom from us is what receives teaching and warning. So our strategy as we aim for maturity is to be teachable, be correctable. Submit yourself to the teaching of the Word. Be always looking to learn more and more about your faith, testing all the new ideas and philosophies that are floating around against the Word of God. To be teachable acknowledges, I have things to learn. I have things to grow in. And we cannot grow unless we acknowledge our need. We cannot grow unless we're kept on that narrow path that the Lord has laid out for us. Are you teachable? Are you correctable? When a brother or a sister or a pastor, out of love for you, attempts to correct you to help you stay on that narrow path, do you push back and react in anger? Or would you be willing to receive it humbly and with gratitude? There's got to be a relationship of trust there, obviously. Trusting that that person has your best interests in mind. But the question for our hearts, for our disposition and postures as we want to grow, is to ask, are you a person willing to acknowledge that you still have things to learn? That you need more teaching? That sometimes you might need to be warned or corrected? This takes a lot of humility from all of us, a lot of self-awareness. But it's crucial that we have this disposition for Christian growth. Because you can't grow if you don't see in yourself the need to grow. So we need Christian teaching. We need the warnings that come from those who love you and desire to keep you on the path that you've chosen. All right, Paul's last strategy we'll focus on in this passage is encouragement. We go into chapter 2. Verse 2, he's toiling for them in prayer so that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Paul knows that encouragement and assurance is so essential for keeping us on that path of aiming us towards that goal. And that they may be encouraged in the love of their community, encouraged in the gospel, in the assurance of the gospel that Christ dwells in them, encouraged in the knowledge of God. So he says this community that's knit together in love should be a source of encouragement for us. That we are together, united in the love of Jesus and in the truth of Jesus, knit together by the Lord's gracious hand. That this is a source of community and encouragement for us. So living in community with others around us who are encouraging us will be an incubator for our growth. We cannot grow on our own. We need one another. As the logs of the fire, as they're pushed together, they help each other to burn bright. But when you separate those logs, when you spread them out on the fire, they'll slowly dwindle down to embers and then out. We need to be together. We need to be knit together in the love of Christ, in the truth of Christ. Encouraging one another, building one another up, helping one another to grow. Don't neglect the ministry of encouragement that we each have toward one another. Do you know that you are responsible for the growth of your brothers and sisters in the church? You're responsible for their growth. So turn to the person on your right and tell them, I'm responsible for your growth in Christ. And now turn to the person on your left and say, you are responsible for my growth in Christ. Amen. We hold one another to these things. We encourage one another. We remind one another of our responsibilities toward one another. We give one another, we are vessels of the assurance of the gospel. We can be the people who remind one another of who we are in Christ. That you can have assurance of his love and the grace poured out to you, assurance of who you are in him. That comes through his Spirit, that comes through his Word, that comes through the community of love and faith. So let me give a challenge to each of us this week. This week, would you take some time to remind a brother or sister of who they are in Christ? That you would be a vessel of their assurance in the Spirit. To remind them, even if maybe you're talking about a circumstance that's going on, to just say, hey, you know what? You are a daughter of the King. You are beloved in Christ. Let that be the framework within which you look at this circumstance. Be someone who gives that encouragement and that assurance. And all of us we go about this strategy of being ones who give encouragement and can receive encouragement. To be encouraged because of who Jesus is, what he has done, and who you are in him. Be encouraged that he dwells in you and is working to bring you to maturity by his Spirit. Be encouraged and keep moving forward. So these are the strategies that Paul is saying he implements to move us toward the goal of maturity in Christ. And so these are the strategies that we want to incorporate in our own lives to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in bringing us to maturity in Christ. We want to know the Word of God fully. We want to treasure the mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. We want to continue to learn and be teachable and correctable. We want to give and receive encouragement and assurance. So these are the strategies and the means for reaching the goal of maturity in Christ. But in all these things, we want to make sure that we keep that goal right in front of us at all times. That it's about Jesus and growing up into maturity in Jesus. That this is our great treasure, our great ambition, the highest value in our lives. Because, brothers and sisters, this is our calling. This is our joy. This is the shape of the abundant life that Jesus won for us. Striving for Jesus. Striving for growing up in him. This is something that is worth our striving, worth our toil and struggle, because he is worth it. And let us grow into maturity in him. In the name of the Father, and